Somebody said a fugitive is one running from home. A vagabond is one that has no home. A stranger is one away from home, but a pilgrim's one headed home.
Amen.
I'm a pilgrim. I'm headed home.
Yeah.
I came by way of Elizabeth Baptist Church tonight, and if I don't make it back out to Samarico, I know where I'm going.
Yeah.
And I thank the Lord for that. Good place to be. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. I'm going to apologize. I got something with hoarseness in my voice, but I'll still do the best I can, and you pray. If you have your Bibles, turn with us over in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. That's right after 1 Timothy. That'll help you find it, maybe. But 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm just going to read one verse for time's sake, verse 20, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20, the Bible says, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege and opportunity to be able to come this way. Thank you for your love and mercy and grace, and as it's already been said, thank you, Lord, for the freedom in our country that we still can gather together and worship according to the dictates of our heart. We're glad, Lord, that you didn't leave us out in the dark, but you gave us your word and told us how we should worship, who we should worship, and all about it. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for each one that's come this way tonight. Lord, we know they may be others that would like to be here, but are just not able. You know all about it. And we pray, Lord, be with all those that are sick and afflicted. We pray for peace for Jerusalem. And we pray, Lord, that you'd bless Elizabeth Baptist Church. You know their need, as well as other churches in the area that need the under-shepherds. May you just bless and send them the very ones that they need. Now, Lord, manifest yourself tonight in a way that'll bring honor, glory, and praise to your name. Bless your word. I know you will. You said it would not return void, but would accomplish that for which it's sent. Have your way now, Lord, we pray. And we'll thank you for all that's done, because if anything's done, it's because of you. And thank you for that. In Christ's name, amen. I heard this story about a guy that was sick, and he went to the doctor, and the doctor sent him for a bunch of tests and all like that, and he told him, he said, you come back the end of next week, I should have all the results back. And so he goes back to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, I got bad news for you, you only got 6 months to live. Oh no, doc, he said, I couldn't pay my bill in that length of time. The doc said, okay, you got 12 months to live. Now, if it was that easy and we had a loved one that was terminal, we could just have them to run a bunch of tests, run the bill up, pay the minimum amount, and be able to extend their life. And when we got down almost paid off, we could just have some more tests run, and it worked pretty good. But unfortunately, that's not the way that it works. But here, the fourth chapter, the book of 2 Timothy, some call it Paul's swan song. This was his farewell, if you will. Paul feels like, according to history, he was put to death a few months after this was written. And so Paul writes this to Timothy, his son in the ministry. And I want you to notice that this fourth chapter, first of all, is Paul's charge. Notice he says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who's a judge of quick and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And so he charges Timothy what to do, to preach the word and to be faithful, you see. Not only is it his charge, but it's his epitaph. Paul says, for I'm ready now to be offered, the time of my departure's at hand. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. I don't know about you. I want to be able to say that. Brother Carl, when I come to the end of my life, I want to be able to look back and say, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. A lot of people, my friends, they don't make it to the end. They sort of give up along the way. But I want to be like Paul. Now, I'll never do all that Paul did, but I want to be able to say, I've done what the Lord called me to do, you see. And so it was his epitaph. Not only that, it was his expectation. He goes on to say there, notice, he said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day, but not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Do you love the fact Jesus is coming back? I tell you, I think we're closer to it than we've ever been. I wouldn't be surprised any moment. Jesus could step out on the clouds of glory with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ rise first, and we which are alive remain be caught up with them. And it's going to be so quick, we won't even have time to turn around and say, hey, we're going. I mean, before we could say, hey, we're going to be there, you see. And so... It was Paul's expectation. I don't know about you, that's mine too, you see. But not only that, it was also some instructions that Paul was given Timothy. Notice there in verse 9, he says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Now, you see, Paul thinks that he's going to die. He wants Timothy to be there as soon as he can. And in verse 11, he says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he's profitable unto me for the ministry. Verse 13, he says, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring that with thee. Evidently, Paul was getting cold in that Mamertine prison, you see, so he wanted his coat. He was saying, hey, Timothy, when you come, stop and get my coat on the way. I could sure use it, you see. And not only that, he goes on to say, and the books, but especially the parchment. So he gives instructions to Timothy, and if you read the rest of the verses, you'll find he says farewell to different ones. But here in the midst of that, this little tiny verse, the last part of it, he says, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Now, let me say this. I believe in healing. I believe in faith that can bring about healing, but I don't believe in faith healers. A lot of these guys, you know, they claim that they can heal at their services. But you know what? I've never seen any of them go to the hospital and clean out that emergency room or clean out a floor, you see. And if they had that gift of healing, then why don't they ever do that, you see? But you never see that. And so that's why I say I believe in healing. I believe God can and does heal. But let me say this. God don't heal every time or every one, you see. And so I believe in healing. But now here's Trophimus. Now, how come Paul didn't heal him? I mean, did Paul not have the gift of healing like the other apostles? Yeah. If you study the book of Acts, you'll find, I believe, that Paul did more miracles of healing than the other apostles, at least it's recorded that we have in the scriptures, you see. And so, yeah, Paul had the gift of healing. Was it that maybe that Trophimus had backslid on the Lord, was living in sin? And no, Paul didn't say Trophimus forsook me. He said I had to leave him sick at Miletum, you see. And so how come that Paul wasn't able to heal him? Well, let me say, the gift of healing was according to God's will, not their will, you see. And so, you see, these apostles couldn't heal anytime they wanted to. They were able to heal when God wanted them to. But I want to think about for just a few minutes tonight, and I'm hoping it'll be a blessing to you. But I want to use this as a thought. The sick man left behind. The sick man left behind. Again, God, I believe, can heal, but he don't heal everyone, and he don't heal every time. If he did, well, we'd have 1,000-year-old church members, you know, sitting in our pews, that God keeps healing, 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 you see. God don't choose to heal every time. But now, why does God heal some and not heal others? Well, it's very simple. I don't know. And I'm pretty sure you don't know either, you see. And so we ain't going to know until we get to heaven. When my wife Janet was sick, when she had that lung disease, and I prayed for her every day. And I prayed for God to heal her, you see. But I said, I would always pray, now God, I'd rather you to take her, if that's your will, than for her to stay here against your will. And that was hard to do, but I still did it, you see. And so God chose not to heal her. But at the same time, there was folks in our church that God healed. And so why did he heal them and not her? I don't know. I don't know. When I get to heaven, I kind of expect he's going to let me know, you see. But I think when we get to heaven and we look back on all the things we didn't understand, and there in heaven we understand them, we're going to say, upon my honor, God sure knew what he was doing, didn't he, all along. And so I want to think about this for a little bit tonight. The sick man left behind. Now, let me say, number one, I think it's God's will sometimes for good people to be sick. It's God's will sometimes for good people to be sick. Now, why does Christian people sometimes get sick? Well, there's different reasons. Let me share maybe three with you tonight. Number one, sometimes because of sin. Because of sin. You see, the Bible says, over in the book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 16, it says, if any man see his brother, so you see, he's talking about a Christian, not an unsaved man. I said, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. So what he's saying, if a man sins and it's not a sin unto death, what does that mean? There is a sin unto death. I ain't got time to go into it. I don't know. I might teach on that next Wednesday night. But there is different sins unto death for the Christian, you see. But it says if a man sin a sin, but it's not a sin unto death, you can pray for him, and God might heal him, you see. And what is it? He's sick, you see. And why is he sick? Notice he says, if he sin a sin that's not unto death. And so, you see, sometimes Christian people are sick because of sin that they commit, you see. Now that's, for example, over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29 and verse 30, this has to deal with communion, you see. Paul here, the Holy Spirit through Paul, was saying to the Corinthian church, now they was a carnal church, you see. They were saved, but they sure wasn't living like they were saved, you see. Some of them weren't. But in 1 Corinthians 11 and 29, the Bible says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily. Now what he's talking about, communion, you see, the Lord's Supper. Eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. You see what they were doing? They were coming together. They were eating, getting drunk, things like that, you see. That was bringing a reproach. They were here to celebrate the death and resurrection of Christ, you see. But they was making a mockery of it. And so he says, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And so what is he saying? Because of their sin of not discerning the Lord's body, because of their sin in the way they was having communion, some of them were sick. And some of them had even died, you see, as a result of it. And so sometimes, you see, people are sick. Christian people are sick because of sin in their life. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Now notice this. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so what that's saying there, James is saying, hey, if somebody's sick, call for the church to pray for them. And if they've committed sin, you see, evidently some people were sick because of sin in their life. And he was telling them, okay, pray for them and God will forgive them their sin and touch and heal them, you see. And he also says, confess your faults, confess your sins, you see, be honest about it, and God will forgive you, and then he'll heal you. And so sometimes Christian people are sick because of their sin. But now let me say this, this is very important. Not always are Christian people that are sick a result of sin in their life, you see. Now that's not to say we don't sin, we all do. We all sin every day, you see. We're saved. God's forgiven us of our sin. But we still have this old nature in us, you see. And, you know, those people that say, hey, you get saved, you can live above sin. Only one I know of that's ever lived above sin after they got saved. This guy's got an apartment over a beer joint, and he lives above sin, you see. But that's about the extent of it. And so we all sin. It may not... I'm not talking about going out and getting drunk, committing adultery, things like that. Though some people do that after they get saved, you see. Is God pleased with it? No, he's not, you see. But not everybody that's sick, that's a Christian, is because that they have sinned. For example, you remember Jesus, he was coming into Jerusalem one day over in John chapter 9, and the Bible said as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, let me say, back in those days, they believed that a fetus in the womb could sin, you see. And so the disciples were saying, this man is blind. Why is he blind? Is it some sin he committed in the womb? Or is it because sin that his parents committed, you see? And so notice what Jesus said. Said, and Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And so what he's saying here is that not everybody that's sick is a result of sin in their life. Now we know that sickness, my friends, is ultimately because of mankind's sin, you see. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, death came upon them because of the sin, and then sickness come along with it. And so ultimately that's the case. But if a person is sick, a Christian person is sick, we don't have the right to say, I wonder what they did. I wonder what sin they're living in that God struck them down to be sick, you see. That's not the case. And the Bible's pretty clear with that, you see. And so sometimes Christian people, they're sick because of their sin. But that's not the only reason. Sometimes Christian people are sick because of Satan, you see. You remember over in the book of Job, chapter 1, the Bible says that there was a man named Job, and he was a rich man, and he eschewed evil and did what was right, and said that by and by they come a time when the sons of God came and presented themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also. And the Lord said unto Satan, said, have you considered my servant Job? He's just and upright and escheweth evil. And Satan said, yeah. You know why, don't you? Because you're blessing him to death. Yeah. If you quit blessing him, he wouldn't serve you. He wouldn't eschew evil. He'd turn on you and he'd curse you, you see. And God said, no, he won't either. Said, I know, Job, and he won't do that. And Satan said, yeah, he will. Said, put your hand on him, take everything away from him that he's got, and watch how he'll do. And so God said, okay, he's in your hand. Do what you want, but you can't touch his body. And what happened? Satan went forth and took everything that he had. All of his cattle, sheep, all the animals that he had, all of his wealth, even his 10 children was at the oldest brother's house, and they were having some kind of a party, and evidently a tornado come by and tore the house up, and they all were, can you imagine going to a funeral home and 10 caskets, all of your children lined all the way around? Several years ago with Carl, I went to New Jersey. I had an aunt that died, and her son-in-law also died. They died within 6 hours of each other. And so my cousin, first cousin, she lost her mommy and husband in the same night, within 6 hours of each other. And they all went to the same church. And so they had a dual funeral there in the church. And there was two caskets, my aunt and then my cousin's husband, there up front, you see. And that's the first time I'd ever seen anything like that. But can you imagine 10 coffins? All of Job's children were killed, you see. Here they were in the funeral home, lined around all 10 caskets, you see. And so Satan took everything that Job had. In fact, his wife said, Job, won't you just curse God and die? And Job said, what? Can't we receive bad things at the hand of God as well as good things? I said, no, I ain't gonna do that, you see. And so Satan come back to God and said, well, skin for skin. Said, you touch his body and he'll curse you. And God says, okay, you can touch his body, but you can't take his life. You see, God put parameters there. And so what did Satan do? Satan went forth, smote him, you see, the Bible says sores from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. I mean, he was in all kinds of pain. He was suffering, you see. In fact, he lost everything he had. And so he went down to the city dump. He was sitting down there at the city dump where they burned all the trash and stuff like that. And he sat there where the embers was still smoldering, you see, where it was a little warm. Took pieces of broken pottery, scraped the sores on his body, you see, but the Bible said he still retained his integrity. Now, keep in mind, Job didn't have the book of Job, right, and he didn't know what was going on, you see. All he knew was, man, I was rich the other day, and now I'm poor as Job's turkey, you know what I'm saying? And I'm sick and sore, and I feel like I'm going to die. And then his best friends, boy, I don't want friends like that today. That came and criticized him and accused him of sin in his life. But you see, Job was sick, not because of sin in his life, but because of what Satan did, you see, to him. And not only that, the Bible tells us over in the book of Luke chapter 13, yes, beginning at verse 10, Jesus is in the synagogue. And scripture says, and as he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift her up herself. And so here was this woman for 18 years said she had a spirit of infirmity and bowed together. So I guess she was sort of like this. And everywhere she went like this. She couldn't straighten up. Can you imagine 18 years of living like that? Can you imagine not being able to reach the top shelf of Walmart? I mean, you couldn't even hardly see the top shelf. And but here she is, been like that for 18 years. She's in the synagogue on this day. And notice, it says, and had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. And then Jesus said to her, woman, you're released. And the Bible says that she all of a sudden was able to stand up straight for the first time in 18 years. And the Bible says that the ruler of the synagogue criticized the people, said you got, because this was on the Sabbath day, you see, and they had got to the place, the Pharisees had got to the place that they thought that the least bit of work violated the Sabbath day. Jesus said to them, hey, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, man oughtn't be bound by that. But they had got to the place to where they thought that work on the Sabbath day, that if you had a needle in your pocket and you went somewhere, they considered that work because you was carrying it. They had got to the place to where if somebody was sick, the doctor was able to only allowed to do enough to keep you from dying, but couldn't do enough to help you get well on the Sabbath day. How silly that was. But that's the way they believed, you see. And so here this ruler of the Sabbath, or the synagogue, he criticized, said, you got 6 days in which to come and be healed. Don't come on the Sabbath day. And Jesus said to him, you hypocrite. I said, don't you loose your ox and your donkey on the Sabbath day and take it that it might get water? And said, should not this woman, notice, ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, woe these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? So you see, this woman, Jesus made it clear that Satan's the one that bound her, you see. And so Satan is the one that did that to her, you see. And let me just say this before I move on. I'll bet that if that was that synagogue ruler's mother, he wouldn't have been complaining, would he? He'd have probably been rejoicing, you see. Because it wasn't, though, he went ahead and complained, you see. And then in Acts 10 and 38, the Bible says how God had anointed, this is Peter speaking, how God hath anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And so we see by this that, number one, sometimes Christian people are sick because of sin in their life. Number two, sometimes Christian people are sick because Satan does it to him, you see. Now, I said earlier, Job didn't have the book of Job, so he didn't know, you see, what was causing all that. You see, Job had no idea. Stop and think about this a minute. I've thought about this. You think Job would have looked at that trial and tribulation a little different if he knew that what brought it all on was God bragged on him? I mean, when Satan come up there, God said, have you considered my servant Job? He's just and upright and escheweth evil. You see, you think Job would have maybe not complained, not really got down in the dumps like he did if he'd have known, hey, the reason I'm going through this is because God bragged on me. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Maybe the next time we're going through a trial, we're suffering something, we ought to stop and think, I wonder if God's bragging on me. He might be, you see. And, hey, I don't know about you. If I knew for sure God was bragging on me because of that, wouldn't that make it easier to go through it? Wouldn't it make it easier to say, well, I'm going to tough it out, you see. I'm going to, if God's bragging on me, well, I want to, you know, I want to bring glory to His name because of it. But, real quickly, sometimes it's because of their sin, sometimes it's because of Satan. And then real quickly, sometimes it's because of special purpose, you see. Like, for example, for Paul, over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, he knew a man about 14 years ago, he said, within body or out of body, I know not. He said, such a man was caught up into the third heaven, said he saw things that was not lawful to be able to utter. And he said that a thorn was given to him, you see, because of all the revelations to keep him from exalting himself, you see. And so Paul said he got a thorn. What was it? Some kind of sickness, something. I don't know what it was. He didn't elaborate. He didn't tell us what it is. Some people think it was Paul's bad eyesight, that he couldn't see very well. Some think it was other things. We don't know what it was. I get to hear my last Paul. What was that thorn you was talking about there? And if you want to know what it is, you come see me. And if you don't make it to heaven, then you ain't going to worry about that. I'll do that for sure. But anyhow, Paul had that thorn, and it was because of something special, you see. God was doing that to keep Paul from exalting himself, you see. And remember in Acts chapter 9 and verse 36, there was a woman named Tabitha. She was full of alms deeds. In other words, she did a lot to help people. And she got sick, you see. They sent for Peter. He came and prayed for her, and she was healed, you see. And the reason why the Bible said many believed on Jesus after that, because of that. You see, it was a reason that woman was sick and that God healed her. And so sometimes it is the will of God for good people to be sick. And then let me just share one other thing with you real quickly. Sometimes there's a purpose in that sickness, you see. For example, it might be for us to have more power with God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I remember Paul's talking about how he knew a man, and I believe he's talking about himself, that was caught up into the third heaven, you see. And he said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan." So you see, Paul clarifies this thorn in the flesh was a messenger of Satan, you see, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And he said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," three times. And I don't believe it was one of these, "Now lay me down to sleep," a little prayers. I think Paul maybe fasted and prayed all night, you see, three different times for this. He said, "For this thing, I besought the Lord thrice that it might be depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Whose weakness? Paul's weakness, you see. And then notice what happened. Paul prays earnestly three times, "Oh God, take this thorn away. Lord, I think I could do so much better. I think I'd be more helpful and maybe travel more and do more and all. If I didn't have this thorn, God, could you take this thorn away?" And God says, "No, Paul, I ain't going to do it. But I tell you what I will do. I'll give you grace sufficient," you see. And when Paul got that grace, you know what he said? "I rather glory in my tribulation." In other words, what Paul was saying, hey, I'll keep this thorn as long as I can have that grace, you see. And so, so the Lord said, "Hey, Paul, you're going to have, a lot of strength. My strength is going to be yours in weakness." You see? When we become so weak that we have to totally rely on Him, then we're stronger than we're ever going to be, you see. And in this day and age in which we live, people, they have the philosophy, if you're not cured, then endure. Yeah. But you know what Paul's philosophy was? "I'm not cured, but I'm going to enjoy." You see, I'm going to praise the Lord and enjoy it, you see. And so, sometimes the sickness might be to bring us down humble to where we'll trust totally in God and have more power then than we ever did. You think about, lady, what was her name now? Fanny Crosby wrote all those songs and all like that. And she was blinded as a child, you see, lived her whole life. I read where she wrote over 3,000 songs. You think about that. And God used her in a tremendous way. And so, number one, sometimes it's for power. Number two, sometimes it's for productivity, you see, because of her. Now, would Fanny have wrote all those songs? Would she have wrote all those poems and all had she had eyesight? Don't know for sure. She might have got so busy with family and all like that that she wouldn't have had time. You see, she was blind. And, she wrote them songs, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And wrote a bunch of wonderful, wonderful songs, you see. And so sometimes, you see, sickness will cause us to be more productive. Real quickly, remember when Paul and Silas was arrested at beaten and throw them in prison, you see. And the jailer put them in the inner part of the prison, put them in stocks, you see. But the Bible said about midnight, they prayed and sang praises unto God. And there was an earthquake. That was no coincidence, by the way. That was a heavenly earthquake. But it shook them walls. The jailer had just fallen asleep. And he shook awake. He gets up. He sees all the cell doors open. He thinks they've all escaped. He draws his sword. He's fixing to kill him. You think about this. This man was only a few seconds away from eternity in hell when he heard that voice out of the darkness. Sir, do thyself no harm. We're all here. So we're fixing to have a revival. God's already given me a message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And what happened? He got saved. Not only him. After he got saved, you see, the Bible said he took them home. He washed their wounds and bandaged them up. His wife fixed supper for him, you know, fried chicken. And you say, how do you know fried chicken? They're Baptist preachers, weren't they? And so she fixed supper for him. And while she was doing that, Paul preached to that whole family, and they all got saved. How come? Because, you see, they got thrown in prison. They got beat and thrown in prison, you see. And so sometimes productivity comes when we're sick. Not only that, sometimes purity comes as a result of our sickness. For example, let me share some scriptures with you. I wrote them down, so save some time. In 1 Peter 5 and 8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthen, settle you." Wow, ain't that wonderful? Peter said, hey, sometimes when all this stuff comes on, God's fixing to do something in your life. He's fixing the man, really strengthen you and settle you and establish you. And in Job 23 and 10, Job said, "But he knoweth the way that I shall take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." You see, God was using these trials to purify Job, if you will. And then the psalmist said in Psalms 119 and 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." The psalmist said, hey, you know, I wasn't really doing what I ought to do. He said, but when I got sick, boy, I straightened up. I got close to the Lord then, you see. And so sometimes sickness comes upon us to help us to be pure. And then let me mention this other one. I'm going to spend time. Sometimes it's to bring praise. Remember when Lazarus got sick and Mary and Martha sent somebody to Jesus, and Jesus was out of town. He was actually across the Jordan River preaching. So they come to Jesus and said, "Your friend Lazarus is sick unto death." And Jesus didn't come right away. In fact, he tarried for two more days, and then he left and came. But Jesus told the disciples, he said, "I'm glad for your sake and he told him, he said, "Now, Lazarus is not dead, he only sleeps." And they said, "Well, I mean, if Lazarus is sleeping, that means a fever's broke, he's doing okay, and so we don't have to hurry." But Jesus said, "Okay, let me plainly tell you, he's dead. He's dead." And he said, "I'm glad for your sake he is." He said, "Because I'm going to go wake him up. You see, I'm going to raise him from the dead so that you'll know." And the Bible said that Jesus comes, Martha comes out first, then Mary comes out. They go to the tomb. Jesus says, Roll the stone away. Martha says, Lord, it's been 4 days. By now he's stinking already. And Jesus said, Martha, didn't I tell you, if you only believe, you're going to see. And Lazarus is going to live again. And so she said, okay. And told him, roll the stone away. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Here he comes. Still bound in the grave clothes, you see, to the mouth of the tomb. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go free. And the Bible said many believed on Jesus as a result of this. What happened? He got the praise, didn't he? I mean, they praised and glorified Jesus. And so we don't always understand why people get sick. We don't always understand why God will heal this one, but he don't heal that one. But he'll heal this one, but he don't heal that one. And there's no way to know. All we can say is God's got it all planned. God's a whole lot smarter than I am. I'll tell you that right now. And, you know, God knows the end from the beginning. He knew it before he created this world that right. So-and-so is going to get sick. He knew all about it, you see. And so God's got a plan. And God's plan's always the best. It's always the best. Like that song that sometimes they sing about Lazarus. I said, when he's 4 days late, he's still on time. God's got a plan, you see. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege and opportunity to be able to come this way. And God, we don't always understand your ways. But you said over there in Isaiah, my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And God, we're glad we can depend on you. Even when we can't see it, you can. Even when we don't understand it, you do. Even when we don't have the strength, you do. Thank you for that, Lord. Now, God, we just pray. Bless this church. Supply the need. Be with us as we travel home. Bless each one that's come this way. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.